We greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here in the house of God, worship, and the inspiration we've received already as we studied God's Word in our Sunday school devotional. Truly, God knows us, He knows all about us, and at times that can maybe seem a little disconcerting. But I trust that most of the time, or maybe all of the time, we find that comforting. I say at times we find it disconcerting because we deal with flesh sometimes, and the carnal mind, Bible tells us, is enmity against God. And so when it's rising up, it's disconcerting that God would actually know this. And so maybe to trust God, to seek God, to overcome those thoughts and to find comfort that God knows and hears. It's not the subject this morning. I was just blessed with that thought in our devotion this morning. This morning I want to look at a Bible doctrine, and it's one that I've been impressed with numerous times. I don't think I've ever really brought it as a sermon, looking through some things to seek inspiration. I come across this aspect again, or this title, and kind of an outline, and got to studying into it, and it seemed that God wanted me to bring this. The title is Seven Aspects of Justification. Seven Aspects of Justification. Now, some of these aspects tie together almost. I mean, it's like pulling something apart, a cord apart, and for saying, well, for garage doors, you know, the cables, or they call them seven, there's seven strands, and depending on the makeup, there might be seven strands wound up seven different strands, and when you pull them all apart, it's one cable, but you can pull them apart, and you can say, well, it's different strands, and ropes are the same way. You take a braided rope, anyway, that's the way some of these thoughts are, and so we're going to look at them and kind of pull them apart, dissect them a little bit, just to help us to understand justification maybe a little better than what we did when we got up this morning. From a biblical, and so we got a lot of verses and a few thoughts to go with each verse. It seems like, as I was studying this yesterday, the verses, it seemed like it didn't take a lot to, in other words, my thoughts when I read the verse were very similar to the verse. It's like, well, there it is. I mean, but hopefully as we look into this, can gain an appreciation for the doctrine of justification. What is justification? Strong's would say to justify is to render, that is, show or regard as just or innocent. And it's used free, justify, justifier, or be righteous. And so as we think of justification, it's to be declared righteous. It's to be declared innocent of something. Now, we know that in ourselves, as we study Bible doctrines and Bible in relation to mankind, we know that mankind is not innocent. We are not innocent. We are not righteous in ourselves. We are not, he tells us that in our flesh dwells no good thing. There's none that doeth good. And so those are things that we must grapple with. And so that should help us to appreciate more the doctrine of justification, that when we stand before God, we can be declared righteous. We can be declared innocent. But how is this possible? How is that possible? What brings about this sentence of, or this, could we say, verdict of justification, that we can stand before God and be declared innocent, Jude tells us that he's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Well, we look at ourselves and we say, well, how can that be? How can we be declared faultless when we stand before God at the end of time? And so we're going to look at verses that show us how this is possible. And yet, just as salvation is a gift, salvation is by grace through faith, Ephesians tells us, this justification is coupled right with that. As we, by faith, reach out and accept this gift of grace that God has extended to us in salvation, even so, justification is, that is how he declares us justified. That is how he declares us faultless before the presence of his glory. And so, but we're going to look at verses to bring that out. And I trust that you can be blessed as we look into this together. Number one, the first aspect is we are justified by the grace of God. Now, when we think of justification and the grace of God, normally when we think of the grace of God, we automatically think of Ephesians 2, right? Where he says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And we think of that as in connection with conversion. But Romans 3, and you can turn, I've got quite a few verses and quite a few verses from each section, so it might be good to follow along here. Romans 3, the basis of our justification is the grace of God. Romans 3, 20 to 26. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And as you look into this chapter, he is talking to the Jews, and he is telling them that their misplaced trust in the law. Christ has come to fulfill the law. And he says, and he lays it all out, and he comes to this conclusion, that the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so if we think that there's a way that we can somehow gain favor or somehow keep the law in such a way that we're faultless, he says, you're putting your confidence in the wrong thing there. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So Paul's laying out to the Jews here that putting your confidence in keeping the law to be justified before God is not going to get us there. It's a faith in the grace of God, we could say. He says we are justified, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so Paul actually has 2 points there. We'll look at the second point a little later, but we're justified freely by his grace. It is something that he declares us righteous as we put our confidence in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, put our trust in that, put our faith in that, become confessing our sins, acknowledging that we are sinners. He says, there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we can be justified freely by his grace. Titus 3, verses 4 to 7. Paul brings this out again in his writing to Titus. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So there again, we find that we are justified by his grace. It is not something that we have earned. It is not something that we have worked up and finally we got all the sin worked out of our lives and we're able now to be declared righteous. You know, in the court of law, sometimes people get released for good behavior, right? They may go to jail for a crime, but through acting right, through good behavior, they can get an early release. They can be declared that they are faultless now, that they have earned it. They have paid for what they have done wrong. But that is not going to work if we're trying to work it out that way in our Christian lives, to keeping track of everything. No, we are justified by his grace. It's by the grace of God that we are declared righteous. It is that favor that he extends to us, that you have put your trust and confidence in the finished work of Calvary, in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. You have been converted. You have been born again. And now you're righteous. You're declared righteous. Being saved by grace, as in Ephesians 2, is similar to being justified by grace. Being saved by grace is being forgiven and cleansed from sin. The other, being justified by grace, is being declared innocent and righteous before God. That's how I got it written down here. You know, we are saved by grace, and then we are justified by grace. We are declared righteous by the same grace that saved us. Number two, we are justified by the obedience of Christ. These next three points, well, actually, these first four points are all very, very similar. We are justified by the obedience of Christ. You can turn over to Romans chapter 5. And the book of Romans tells us a lot about justification. And if you ever do a book study on the book of Romans, you'll find this theme coming through time and time again of how Abraham was justified and what Abraham did to become justified, declared righteous. And we can take a lot of lessons from that as to what our lives need to be. Romans 5, verses 18 and 19. Paul here is giving the example of Adam, the first Adam and the second Adam. We talked about that a while back. Romans 5, 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous, or be declared righteous. And so the obedience of Christ, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, he tells us in Philippians. And it's, the next couple of points deal with what this obedience brought to Christ, but in his obedience to the Father, the will of the Father, he brought justification. He brought a declaration of righteousness to all who put their trust in him. He says the righteousness of one came the free gift of justification of life. So as Christ was willing to come and give his life a ransom, that is what brought about this justification, what brings about this justification into our lives. It's what makes it possible for us to have something that we can trust in to be declared righteous, something that we can put our confidence, our faith in. And that is the obedience. So the obedience of Christ brings justification to us. Shall many be made righteous. Just as the disobedience of Adam brought condemnation to mankind, the obedience of Christ brings justification. You know, as you think about that, the one that did the wrong can never be declare himself innocent, although we try to sometimes. You know, we may do something and we try to make it right, and we try to justify ourselves, and we try to make it look like either that it was done without any malice or there's all kinds of ways that the one who did the wrong can try to justify himself and make himself appear to be the victim or the righteous one in the case. But that doesn't work, does it? We could never justify ourselves. We need someone to declare us righteous. We need someone different, someone who is sinless, someone to step in and say, this has been atoned for. This wrong has been forgiven. This wrong, you know, I declare him righteous. And the obedience of Christ brings about that. The one who did the wrong could never declare himself righteous. It's only the righteous one who can declare us righteous before God. That is what Romans is bringing out here in Romans 5. One man's disobedience, many were made righteous, or sinners, so that by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The righteousness of one came the free gift of justification. Number three, we are justified by the blood of Christ. Again, if you look in Romans 5, we back up a few verses to verses 8 to 10. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And Paul here again is kind of giving us 2 points in this passage. We are saved, justified by his blood. So the obedience of Christ led to his shedding of his blood, led to the shedding of his blood. His obedience wasn't merely just an act of doing something that cost him little. It cost him his life. He shed his blood for us so we can be justified. He says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So he died for us so that we can be justified, so that we can be declared righteous, so that we can be saved. It was through this that the plan of salvation was completed. His obedience, in the last point, brought about his blood. In this point, the shedding of his blood. The obedience led to Calvary. The obedience led to his giving of his life. The obedience led to the shedding of his blood. But it all brought about justification for mankind, being declared righteous, having that ability to be declared righteous, having that reconciliation that brings about justification. Number four, we are justified by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. We are reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And that brings in the resurrection, doesn't it? The whole complete plan of salvation brings about our justification, his obedience, his death, and his resurrection. Romans 4, backing up a little farther in Romans. Romans 4, 23 to 25. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. And if we go back there, Paul is using the illustration of Abraham, how Abraham was declared righteous. And we could look at that quite a bit as we think about the implications there for the Jews of Paul's day who were declaring keeping the law as a means of bringing about their righteousness. And Paul goes all the way back to Abraham. He says, no, Abraham was declared righteous. And it was 400 some years before the law was even given. How can this be? And he goes back and he shows that it was the faith of Abraham. It was how Abraham believed, how Abraham acted upon that belief, how Abraham followed God and he was declared righteous. And Paul says, now you get that point. And he says, now it was not written for Abraham's sake alone. Wasn't just the purpose of justifying Abraham. He says, no, it was written for us. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. We don't just read that and say, okay, that worked for Abraham, but it's different for us. No, he says, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, who was raised again for our justification. And so we find the finished work of Calvary, the death and resurrection of Christ, all work together for our justification. The whole plan of salvation brought about the complete work or process of our justification. And so these three points, 2, 3, and 4, all go together hand in hand. And that's why I say a lot of these points are like they're all interwoven, but we can dissect them a little bit and help us to understand how they all work together. The plan of salvation is the only way we can be justified before God. So many times we can fall into this trap, and there's a lot of different religions that bring about this thing of balancing out the good with the bad. And, you know, at the end of life, you know, it's the good life that you live that's going to outweigh the bad, and then you can be enter into heaven. But Paul, throughout this, the book of Romans, brings that thought and destroys that line of reasoning that somehow we in ourselves can present ourselves faultless before God. No, it's only through Christ. Christ is the one who presents us faultless before this throne of grace. And it's through the grace of God, that favor that God has shown to mankind in sending Jesus to die for us. So through the obedience, the blood, and the resurrection, shed blood and the resurrection of Christ, we can be declared righteous. Now, what is what can we do? What is our part in this process of justification? Well, it's just like in the plan of salvation. We have to accept it. We can't just claim the merits and say, okay, Christ did that, so now I'm righteous. No, we have to accept that. And so let's turn back over to Romans 5 again. We just finished up there in Romans 4. He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Justified by faith. And we, again, there are teachings that abound that it's by faith and through faith, and it's not of works. Ephesians, we could go back to Ephesians where he talks about our being saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we could say, well, okay, this is faith. And Luther took that, as we studied through the book on Wednesday evenings here last year, Luther took that, and to the extent that he said, well, any works we do is just, they don't count at all. It's faith and faith alone that declares us righteous. The just shall live by his faith. And so, lest we get ahead of ourselves, we're going to look first at faith, and then we're going to look at the next part of our response. But the justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we accept the plan of salvation, as we are converted, as we are saved from our sins, as we repent and confess those sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of sins. And we, by faith, we reach out to him and we say, Lord, I accept that. I want to believe that. And I do believe it. And then we are justified. We have this peace with God. We have, assurance that God has forgiven us of our sins, that God has declared us righteous. He is forgiven. He has declared us righteous. He has declared us innocent. He has declared us faultless at that point. And so we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, we also have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. And so as we look at the subject of grace, we find grace, the saving grace. We find the keeping grace. We find the assuring grace. We find grace in every aspect of life. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And he tells us that we can, in Hebrews, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help, strength to help in time of need. And so we have that access through faith. And so we are justified by faith. That's how we laid hold of this justification. That's how we are assured of this justification. That's how we can face God in confidence that sin is taken, dealt with. It's by faith. And so the faith is what gives us the assurance. Galatians 3, 6 to 9, Paul is writing here to the Galatians. He says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And so again, Paul is using the illustration of Abraham, and it's such a good illustration for us in the New Testament times, especially for us as Gentiles, who were not brought up in keeping the law. Although we did to a certain extent, and as we grew up in godly homes, we understand the place of the law, and we understand how what God expects of us, but we were not brought up in keeping sacrifices and those things. But as we look at the life of Abraham, and there is so much unpacked there in the book of Romans and in these verses we read from Galatians, he says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And so Abraham's faith in God is what made the difference in his life. As he believed God, as God told him to do something, he believed it. And God, he even went even to the extent of where he took Isaac to be sacrificed. He believed that God could raise him again from the dead. Such was his faith in God. And so he says that when God, in his foreknowledge, said that I'm going to accept the heathen, I'm going to accept the Gentiles into the plan of salvation, he told Abraham, he says, in thee all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And so Paul is saying that is proof that all who respond to God in faith, just like Abraham did, are going to be blessed the way Abraham was, and that is with justification. The just shall live by faith. We are justified by faith. And that is how we laid hold of this justification, is by reaching out to God in faith and responding to the provisions that God has. God has made all the provisions for our justification, but we must respond in faith, believing. Number 6, we are justified by works. Now, I thought we just said we were justified by faith, not of works. We are justified by works. We turn to James 2 for this. James 2, verses 20 to 26. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Well, no. He says he was justified by faith, wasn't he? It was imputed unto him for righteousness. Well, how does James know? James is showing how the proof of Abraham's justification, when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. Now, we said that Abraham responded in faith to this test by doing something, didn't he? He responded. He believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. He tells us in Hebrews, seeing then thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Can't you see that? Abraham responded in faith, and he did something, and that proved that he had faith. The scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So Paul there is quoting the same verse, or James is quoting the same verses that Paul quoted back in Galatians, that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And James is saying that in connection with Abraham's works, that he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And so our test of faith is proven by our response of faith. And so James here is not preaching a message of works necessarily. He's preaching the importance of works coupled with faith. And so as we think of being justified by works, Abraham was justified by faith, but he was also justified by the works that showed his faith, is what James is saying. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see, then, how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So the James here, writing to the Jewish people, was saying it was taking two people that they knew, instances that they knew very well in their history, and brought out the fact that just to say something is not good enough. We must act upon it. Just to say, I have faith in God, I believe God, is not enough. It's to act upon that belief. It's to act upon that faith. It proves our faith. Faith, by our works, our faith is made perfect. That's what shows. And so we are justified by faith. We are justified by works. We are justified by faith. It's how we laid hold on that, on this justification, and by works to show that we truly believe. It's proof that we are justified. We are declared righteous. We are now moving out in in our obedience to God. These two points go hand in hand, just like the aspect of salvation, the obedience, the shed blood and the resurrection of Christ provided salvation for us and provides that justification for us, that avenue to be declared righteous before God. That is the, could we say, the seed that brings about that. That is what that comes from, this doctrine of justification comes from. And this is to be our response. It is how we lay hold, how we can be declared righteous, how we can have the assurance that we will be declared righteous in the end as we are justified by faith. We have that peace with God. And then it works out in a life of obedience to God, just like Abraham's faith led to a life of obedience to God. He was called a friend of God, he says, James says there. And then we come to that conclusion that our response too must be one initially of faith, that God's provisions are what we need, and then a life of obedience. Faith, we are justified. What does James say? You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And so we can say, you know, all we want about believing God and walking with God, but until it carries itself out in our everyday living, it's merely a speech or a show, as what James is saying. It must be coupled with a life of obedience to God. It must be coupled with a life that walks with God in obedience to God's commands. So we are justified by faith, we are justified by works, and James brings out very clearly the two go hand in hand. It's a twofold working in our lives. It's a twofold response in our lives. Number 7, to sum it all up, justification is all of God. We can have the works. You know, we can try to work it out in our own. That is not going to work. We can say what we want. That is not going to work without God declaring us righteous. And that is what we put our faith and trust in. That is what we give our lives in obedience to. And that is that God, when God says, accept my provisions, and you will be declared righteous. We put our faith and trust in that. And that is what we need to keep coming back to. You know, without the grace of God, without this favor of God, without God providing salvation for us, without God, without accepting that plan of salvation, without Jesus Christ, we could not be declared faultless before his presence. And we can turn over to Romans 8 then. Again, there's a lot in these verses preceding, but we're going to jump in at verse 31. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. And so Paul is saying here, when we, by faith, reach out, when we live a life that is honoring God, when we walk in obedience to God, when we are one of God's elect, one of God's children, God justifies us, and nothing Satan can do can remove us from that. He can't condemn us. We can, because we are one of God's children. He says, what shall we say? Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who's going to say, no, you're not good enough. You've done too many bad things. You've done this. You've done that. He says, God justifies us. God declares us righteous, and that's what matters in life. That's what counts as a child of God, is that God declares us righteous. And it is of God. It's not of works. It's not that we have been good enough. No, we have not. We have done some awful things. We have sinned. We have come short of the glory of God. But when we, by faith, reach out and receive that grace of God in our lives, he declares us righteous. He declares us faultless. And we look forward to the day when he will present us faultless before the presence of his glory, as Jude says. We look forward to that day. And so who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And we can answer those doubts. We can answer those accusations with, I am one of God's children. I have peace with God. I have, by faith, reached out. I have given my life to God. And I'm going to trust his justification. I'm going to trust his verdict over the enemy's verdict. It is God that justifieth. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. And as we said earlier at the beginning of the message, those are the basis of our justification, is this plan of salvation. Christ died, he's risen again, and that's what brings about our justification, is we put our faith and trust in him. Yea, rather, that is risen again, is even at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And I thank God for that provision this morning. I thank God that I can be declared righteous. I can be declared faultless when I come to the end of life. And it's of God. It is all of God. And, you know, we can grow up. We can think so often that if I'm just could get these bad habits under control, or if I could just somehow get to where everyone thinks well of me, then I'll be good. No. We finally come to the point where we say, in my flesh is no good thing. It's only through Christ, and we accept that by faith, and we strive. Yeah, we want to overcome. We want to be overcomers. Don't give in to the thing that, well, you know, Christ died, and he'll understand that I live in the flesh. No. Seek victory. Seek to live for God. Walk in obedience to God. God will give victory to those who come boldly to the throne of grace, who seek that help of God. It's not that we just... give up and say, well, those bad habits are going to be a part of my life. It's just one of the, no. And when we, by faith, get serious with God and reach out, seeking his forgiveness, seeking his acceptance, seeking his will for our lives, giving our lives in obedience to him, just as the faithful Abraham did, and we can be declared righteous. God has made all the provisions. It's up to us to accept it by faith. Out of this justification springs a life of obedience to God. If we are one of God's children, have been forgiven, justified, then our standing is sure, is what Paul is saying here in Romans 8. We're one of God's. We've been forgiven. We've been justified. Our standing is sure. Satan can bring all kinds of accusations and try to plant doubts in our mind, try to plant fear in our minds. But when our standing is sure, we can rest in peace, knowing that we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and our standing is sure. Who can separate us from the love of God? He goes on. He says, I'm persuaded that neither life, death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we could say that none of those things will stand in the way when we stand faultless before God. If we have accepted by faith the provisions he has for us in the plan of salvation, we are one of God's children. Nothing can separate us from that. And let's take heart. Let's seek God. Let's seek to be presented faultless. And let's accept the provisions that God has for us in salvation, so that we too can be among the faithful, of the faith of Abraham, the faithful when Jesus comes again. We can stand before him uncondemned, faultless. Let's kneel for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, want to thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you for this group of believers that we can gather together with this morning. Thank you for the freedom we have to do this. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to grant these opportunities many times, and that we can be encouraged and strengthened as we look into your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the shed blood, the obedience of him, that we can be justified through his obedience, his shed blood, his resurrection. Lord, I just pray that each heart would reach out in seeking the redemption, seeking the forgiveness, seeking the peace that comes through a life surrendered to you and to your word. And Lord, I just pray that each heart, as we go from here, may walk in obedience, can find the strength, the grace to live in victory, be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Just pray your blessing upon your word as it was read this morning. May it bear fruit in each of our lives. Help us to live in service to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.